Mark's Gospel, the last chapter of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and we'll commence reading at verse 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 14. Now, you'll recognize you're in very familiar territory. Mark 16, verse 14. Later he, that is Jesus, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now, on the first Sunday morning that I was with you, we looked at a great moment, the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished." And then last Sunday morning, we looked at a great ministry, the Comforter. "I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, another Helper. And he shall abide with you forever." This morning, we're looking at a great message, the commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we are seen in Scripture in differing roles, aren't we? You see, sometimes we are viewed, the Christian is seen as a worshipper in the church. The psalmist says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Worship requires holiness of life. The psalmist also said, "Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Worship requires a humility of mind. So sometimes we come to the Scriptures and we see the Christian as a worshipper. And then sometimes we come to the Scriptures and we see the Christian as a worker in the field. Paul says, "I labored more abundantly than they all." That wasn't arrogance or pride or boastfulness. It was simply a matter of fact. This man worked harder than any other for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom of God. Sometimes the Christian is seen as a warrior in the battle. We are behind enemy lines. We have a strong adversary against us. God has provided armor for us to enable us to stand in the fight. But I think most often the Christian is seen as a witness in the world. Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." And there is a promise of power given to those who work and witness for him. Now, here's what Mark said. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The headings are obvious and simple. Even the youngest child will understand them. First of all, the where. Where? Mark says, "Go into all the world." The interesting thing to note this morning is this, that when Matthew was writing about this commission, he looked at it nationally. Matthew said, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He looked at it nationally. And you see, what the Word of God wants us to know and believe and understand this morning is this, that God has commissioned his church to evangelize the whole world nationally and personally. You see, there are atheistic nations today where even the very existence of God is denied, but they need the gospel. There are animistic nations this morning where they are held captive by the devil at his will as they worship the spirit of their ancestors. But they need the gospel. There are Islamic nations this morning which are bitterly opposed to Christ and Christianity but they really need the gospel. There are apathetic nations this morning, secular society that feels no need of God. They need the gospel. The gospel has a national consensus. Go into all the world. Go and make disciples of all nations. But when Mark was writing about it, Mark made it personal. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that means regardless of their learning. You see, God is not concerned about whether they are civilized or uncivilized. The witch doctor needs the gospel and deserves the gospel as much as the medical doctor. Regardless of their language, whether that language is known or unknown, if it's unknown, then someone needs to go and learn it. Because God wants those people to hear the gospel. And regardless of their living, whether they live moral or immoral lives, whether it is monogamy, one man and one wife, or polygamy, one man and many wives, you and I are not to be the judges or the arbitrators of that. We are simply to go and preach the gospel. All the world, yes. But when you come to what Paul looks at in the Acts of the Apostles, you realize that there is a pattern to follow. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Can I make bold to suggest to us this morning that if we have no burden for Lisburn, we are unlikely to have a burden for Liberia. And if we have no burden for Ireland, we are unlikely to have a burden for Indonesia. Because the little saying is true that says, the light that shines furthest shines brightest at home. Do we have a burden for Lisburn this morning? You see, there's the where. Go into all the world, but you start at home. And then the pebble in the pond effect works out. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts. The second thing that stands out in the text is the what. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, that is what men and women need to hear today. They need to hear the gospel. Paul deals with the might of the gospel, doesn't he? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And, of course, that's true. Paul was absolutely convinced about the power of the gospel. In Acts chapter 17, he took it to Athens, which was a center of gross idolatry. In Acts 17 and verse 16, he says, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. But you see, the gospel worked in that center of idolatry. And many of the Athenians repented of their sins and believed the gospel. In Acts chapter 18, he took the same gospel to Corinth. Corinth was then the sin capital of the world. When other people were behaving badly, they described them like this. They said, they live as they do in Corinth. It was the sin capital of the world. But in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, we read these words, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. The gospel worked. In Acts chapter 19, he took this gospel to Ephesus, which was given over to the worship of the goddess Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And in Acts 19 and verse 18 it says, "And many who had believed came, confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver." What a transformation in Ephesus, given to the idolatrous worship of Diana. Men and women engaged in magic and all sinful and satanic activities. And there came into it a little man whom Voltaire described as the ugly little Jew with the might of the gospel behind him. But then you see, Paul talks not only about the might of the gospel, Paul talks about the message of the gospel. When he came to the church at Corinth, there were many problems there. But he says, "I'm not getting involved in your problems." He says, "I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. Listen, for God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." On the mission field, I have no problem with missionaries using secondary means for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the proclamation of the gospel. I have no difficulty with missionaries getting involved in education, teaching the tribal people to read and to write will be a lasting benefit and blessing for them. If they come to faith in Christ, they will be able to read the scriptures for themselves. I have no trouble with missionaries getting involved in medical work, helping to heal and cure their sicknesses and their diseases. I have no trouble with them getting involved in agricultural exploits, showing them how to grow better crops to feed their people, as long as it is clearly understood that it is a secondary measure. The primary method is the preaching of the gospel. But what about not the mission field this morning across the seas, but the mission field across the street? What about at a local level? You see, I trust I'm not out of order this morning, but I don't imagine Lisburn's any different from anywhere else today in our province. And I think as the people of God, we need to stop, and we need to take a hard look at our inability to reach men and women and young people with the gospel of Christ. We need to take a hard look and a fresh look at our strategy for evangelizing our community. Is it effective? Are we reaching those who are needy people, those who desperately need the gospel? And if not, what can we do to improve? You see, here was Paul's consideration. He said, "I became all things to all men, that by all means I might win some." Now, let me explain this to you this morning. Some people have taken that text and they have made it a pretext. They have done to it something that Paul never meant or intended. When Paul said, "I have become all things to all men, that by all means I might win some," I personally believe this morning, that he meant, "I am willing to do all the legitimate and all the biblical things that I can do to win man and woman for Christ." I totally reject today the notion of going to a pub and drinking alcohol, even moderately, in order to witness to a man who drinks. My own view of that is this: it is bad for your testimony. It clouds the gospel of the grace of God. It confuses people, and it does nothing for the honor of Christ. So we need to be sure that while we're evangelizing, we are doing it in a legitimate and in a biblical and in a God-glorifying way. It is not to be abused. It is not to be made something that Paul never meant it to be. We need to examine our existing strategy, don't we? We need to have a hard look at Lisburn today. And we need to see the estates of this town and the people of this town and realize that in this city of yours this morning, there are thousands upon thousands of people who don't understand enough of the gospel to commit themselves to Christ. And we need to get that message to them. Now, you're going to make an effort in a week's time in the gospel with a wonderful evangelist. But this is an ongoing work. This is not a one-week wonder. This is not a one-week outreach that's required here. Can you see the where? All the world, but you start in Lisburn. Can you see the what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And of course the emphasis is on preach the gospel because the gospel is the only saving message there is. Now here's the third question. The who? Well, the disciples, the followers, the believers, the people of God, you and I. That is our commission, that is our responsibility to go and preach the gospel. Now, some of us do it publicly from a platform, others will do it privately. But it's the gospel we need to preach and proclaim. The phone rang in a high society Boston home. And on the phone from California was the son of the family, just back from the Vietnam War. His mother answered the phone and she was delighted to hear that he was back in America. And he said this. He said, "Mom, I want to bring a pal home with me." She said, "Sure, son, that's fine. Bring him for a few days." No, she said, "Sure, son, that's fine." He said, "Mom, but you need to understand he has only one leg and one arm and his face is badly disfigured." She said, "Son, well, that will be all right. Bring him for a few days." He said, "No, Mom, you don't understand. I want him to stay with us." And the mother began to make excuses. She was embarrassed at the prospect. She began to make excuses. She began to talk about what the neighbors might think and how they might feel and so on. And the boy in California, he just put the phone down. The line went dead. A few hours later, the phone rang again, this time again from California, but this time it was the Californian police. And they said, "Ma'am, we have found a boy with just one arm, one leg, and is badly disfigured. And he's just shot himself. And his papers say that he's your son." If you and I are ever going to make an impact individually or collectively on our community, then we need to be compassionate. The secret of the ministry of the Lord Jesus was this. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. For he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Now, almost all of us are moved by something. Not all the same thing, but we all have emotions that move us. Some people are moved by singing. When we were in Australia, there was a little girl from Korea. She was about 5 foot nothing, just a little slip of a girl who sang "How Great Thou Art" without any amplification in a building bigger than this. And there were people who were moved to tears. It was absolutely splendid. There are some people who are moved by scenery. The scenery of Switzerland or New England in the fall. The beauty of all God's creation. There are many people who are moved by suffering. The suffering of the orphans, the malnourished, the mistreated, the persecuted. But you see, the problem for the Christian church today is this. Not many of us are moved by the plight of souls, by the plight of men and women who are dying in sin. See, here we are this morning, most of us, not all of us I imagine, but most of us are absolutely thrilled to be in God's family. absolutely thrilled to know God's forgiveness. Absolutely thrilled to be God's forever. His forever, only His. Who the Lord and me shall part. But let me ask you a theological question this morning. Who will be in heaven? Who will be in heaven? And surely the answer is only the saved. Now, please understand, this is a general statement, not a very particular one. I'm not talking about small children, babies who die in infancy and so on. I personally believe they go to heaven. But talking about mature people who have come to an age of understanding, who will be in heaven? And I think all of us who are saved would say, well, those who have accepted Christ, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, stop. That means there are family members of mine and yours who are not going to be in heaven. If they died today, they would not be in heaven. That means there are friends of yours and mine. If they died today, they wouldn't be in heaven. That means there are colleagues of yours and mine, people that we rub shoulders with, we work with, we talk with, we speak to every day that we live almost. Does that trouble us this morning? Does that bother us this morning? Does that concern us this morning? Does that move us this morning? There was a man called Sam Hadley who worked in the clubs and pubs of one of the busy streets in New York as an evangelist. And one night someone found him leaning against a lamppost outside one of those pubs, and he was crying. And through his tears, he said that he was heard to say this. He was unaware that people were around him. Leaning against the lamppost, his head bowed, crying bitterly. And he was heard to say this, Lord, the sin of this city is breaking my heart. Are you troubled about the sin of Lisburn this morning? Or are we too sophisticated today to weep o'er the erring ones, to lift up the fallen, and to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save? So what are the options for us today? Well, obviously there is a great variety of ministries available, isn't there? You see, you can have across the seas service. And all over the world this morning, there is a great need for men and women, young and not so young, to go and offer themselves to go and help. You may not be able to learn a tribal language. You may not be able to handle tonal language or something. But you could go and be a support. You could be a help. You could be a blessing. You could free up to learn that language someone who's otherwise engaged. But then you see, this might apply to most of us. That might apply to a few of you. This will apply to most of us. There's not only across the seas ministry or service, there's across the street service. But you see, for that you need to be neighborly. For that you need to be kind. You need to be helpful. You need to be considerate. You need to be godly. Because if those things are not in your life, then you're not likely to go across the street and tell your neighbor about the mission or about the master, are you? There's around the throne ministry. And sometimes we seem to minimize what is the greatest ministry of all. Because one day there was a battle in the valley and Joshua smote the Amalekites. But the battle was the victory was the result of an old man the Amalekites never even saw, didn't even know he was there. But up on a mountain there was an old man called Moses who held up holy hands to God in prayer, and God answered that prayer, and the victory was Joshua and Israel's. If people are going to be saved in this mission, it will be because of men and women who have had around the throne service. And then there's around the church ministry, isn't there? Big church like this needs lots of workers. I think it's quite unfair if someone's doing three or four things and some are doing none. Where? All the world. What? Preach the gospel. Who? The followers, the disciples, the believers. Why? Why do we need to go? We need to go because men die in darkness at our side without a hope to cheer the truth. Listen to these statistics. Sometimes statistics leave you cold, but this shouldn't leave you cold. It should leave you challenged. In America today, there is one full-time Christian worker for every 750 people. In Senegal this morning, there is one full-time Christian worker for every 60,000 people. In Bangladesh today, there is one full-time worker for every 230,000 people. Now, that doesn't seem right or fair to me. Does it seem right or fair to you? In America, 1 to 750. In Senegal, 1 to 60,000. In Bangladesh, excuse me, in Bangladesh, 1 for every 230,000. A great message. The commission. The where. All the world. No place, no person to be excluded. The what. The gospel. As the only saving message there is, the who, the disciples, all of us have a part to play by earnest prayer, by sacrificial giving, by personal going. The why? Because people need the Lord more than anything else today. They need the Lord. A great message, the commission.